All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to Chats, where we bring you insightful interviews on a variety of topics related to spinal cord injury. Chats, which stands for Clinical Hints and Topics in SCI, brings you episodes that feature everything from patient stories and perspectives to clinical insights and tips, SCI resources, topics relating to quality of care, questions and answers, and all kinds of different things. Just as a reminder, we bring you this episode from the Spinal Cord Injury Special Interest Group of the Academy of Neurologic Physical Therapy Association, which is a component of the APTA. As a reminder, the views and opinions expressed are those of the individual creators and don't necessarily represent the position of the Academy of Neurologic PT. So on today's episode, I'm really excited to introduce you to Tori Fahlgren. She is a physical therapist at the Shepherd Center and works in a wheelchair and seating clinic. She has been a PT for 7 years with experience across the continuum of care, specializing in clients with neurologic diagnoses. She has worked at the Shepherd Center for the past 4 years exclusively in the wheelchair and seating clinic, and she is a board certified neuro PT. She has her RESNA certified assistive technology professional, and she is a member of the clinician task force. And she also volunteers for the Georgia RSVP Clinic, which is a nonprofit clinic that serves uninsured people with brain injury and spinal cord injuries. So welcome to the show, Tori.
Hi, Kristen. Thank you so much for having me on
Oh,
the
we're so excited to have you. So today our topic is really going to be about complex rehab technology and advocacy. And we're going to get into a little bit about your journey through advocacy and some specific things that you have done with power seat elevation on power chairs. So let's start with kind of what is this term complex rehab technology?
Absolutely. I do want to preface our whole conversation that there are amazing organizations and support groups for CRT and access to CRT. I will mention a few or possibly a lot in this conversation, but it is absolutely not comprehensive. So in general, feel free to look out for other organizations. But complex rehab technology, often referred to as CRT, includes medically necessary specialized manual or power wheelchair equipment, in addition to custom seating, positioning components, and other adaptive equipment used by individuals with a wide range of diagnoses. So, not just spinal cord injury, also cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, ALS, SMA, in addition to individuals with amputations, limb loss, Ehlers-Danlos. So there's not a comprehensive list of diagnoses, but CRT is individualized and it is configured to meet the wheelchair user's medical needs and maximize their independence. So in general, DME is kind of a broad category. You can get a piece of equipment off of Amazon, and that is not CRT, which is very customized.
Yes, absolutely. And in the world of CRT, there's always a big push, and as a spinal cord injury professional, to be using that term because that's what we do in our practice every day. Obviously we have some interactions with durable medical equipment, but CRT is really kind of the bread and butter of our SCI world. So I would love to talk a little bit about advocacy. And with complex rehab technology comes a lot of advocacy in many different ways that is necessary to support the things that our clients need, but also what we do as professionals. So tell me a little bit about what it means to be an advocate in CRT and how clinicians get involved in that.
So, I think in general, CRT encompasses so many individuals, and there's so many aspects to obtaining CRT. So, you have the clinician, you have the end user or the wheelchair user, but you also have suppliers, you also have manufacturers, and all of these individuals and entities really participate in advocacy. So, when I was first asked to be on this podcast and speak to advocacy, I was extremely flattered. But I also really thought to myself, am I the best representation of advocacy?
Thank
And
you.
I think there's such a range in what being an advocate means, from educating yourself on the topics to sharing that information to encouraging your clients to become advocates, participating in advocacy groups, being board members on advocacy. There's just such a range of what being an advocate means. And it can be really small, but it's still so impactful to, like I said, being a board member on these advocacy groups. And I think that's my main goal in this discussion, is just to encourage clinicians or wheelchair users to start that interest in it because it has such a huge impact, as we'll talk about, into changing the scope of CRT access.
I love that, Tori. That is such a wonderful point. It does not matter how big or small, just getting involved is the first step in whatever facet that looks like for you as an individual. So, what led you personally to advocacy?
Good question. So I don't think I ever went out with the very altruistic idea of becoming an advocate. I started at Shepherd Center, and my supervisor, Chris Maurer, really encouraged me to join the Clinician Task Force. And that is an amazing group of clinicians, educators, and suppliers who have decades of wheelchair and seating experience across the country. And they are amazing advocates. And at the heart of what they do is really providing equipment that adds to the health and function of wheelchair users. So after joining CTF, I participated in the Congressional Fly-In Day. So previously, that day had been in Washington, D.C., but because of the pandemic, it was virtual. So that allowed me to participate from Atlanta, which was awesome. And the Congressional Fly-In Day is a day where CRT advocates are connected to representatives and senators. So it is awesome. From suppliers to clinicians to end users themselves, we have meetings with Congress and their aides to discuss any pertinent topics that we are really advocating for that year. And so I think those big steps kind of led me into an interest in just knowing what is current in CRT and being able to encourage my coworkers and my clients to advocate.
That is awesome, Tori. So tell us a little bit about power seat elevation and power wheelchairs and kind of the challenges that have been faced in the past and the advocacy journey of that over the past year. Well, and before that.
So I may not know the full scope of
That's
that
okay.
history again. I'm very aware of my shortcomings as a relatively new wheelchair seating therapist. But in general, for anyone that's outside of the wheelchair and seating world, CMS, which is Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, they really set guidelines in terms of what is considered medically necessary. And a large majority of other healthcare insurances follow Medicare guidelines. So historically, CMS determined that power seat elevation was not medical in nature. So there has been years of research advocacy in terms of educating CMS and advocating that seat elevation is extremely medically necessary. So for anyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, seat elevation is the ability for a power wheelchair to raise vertically. So it allows a client to improve their ability to transfer, reach, line of sight, ADLs, like using, reaching for things in their restroom or reaching for things in their kitchen, increasing their independence. It's just such a functional seat feature. And that is where a lot of, advocacy has come from, is just how functional that power seat function is. So in May of 2023, CMS made a final decision that they were willing to cover seat elevation. They did have a 30-day comment period, which allowed individuals, anyone, any family members, clinicians, wheelchair users could comment on the need. And I feel like that was hugely instrumental. And this was a huge success in terms of advocacy for CRT.
Yes, that's so neat. I am a part of many of the CRT organizations as well. And anytime a big advocacy piece like this is going out and being pushed, they send out the information to the clinicians across the country, and it was a great chance. We all got that time period of please submit your comments, send this to your clients. So I know we had a huge push in the organization that I'm a part of, and I mean, I think I wrote like paragraphs of why this is so important, so that way these legislatures could understand. So it's really nice. That's, I think, the easiest way to disseminate some of those information. And we also, I'm going to put a tiny little plug in. The APTA has a wheelchair and seating mobility special interest group now. So for anybody who's part of our spinal cord injury special interest group, I would highly recommend you sneaking over to the wheelchair SIG to be able to, it's a great platform to be able to learn what are some of the current things like Tori's discussing now. So just putting that little plug in as they are part of our AMPT SIG groups as well.
Absolutely.
So after the success of the power seat elevation, what are some other current topics and things that are looking to be on the kind of docket of discussion for the upcoming year?
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting things still being worked for advocacy. So you have power standing seat systems. So power wheelchair users have a power seat function that essentially will put them into a standing position. So there is a lot of advocacy similar to the seat elevation to work towards medical coverage of that power seat function. Also, the ability for users to upgrade their equipment. So from titanium or carbon fiber, right now insurance will only pay for an aluminum wheelchair frame. So this would allow individuals to essentially pay for that difference. It wouldn't cost Medicare additional funds, but it allows individuals to make that decision to upgrade the frame of their wheelchair. So there's currently a bill, HR 5371, Choices for Increased Mobility Act, and that is a really big push as well, which will be interesting to kind of see over the next year or so, kind of where that makes progress. And then there's just a general support to maintain CRT equipment. So for anyone that is a wheelchair user or is in this industry, it is extremely challenging to get equipment repaired, and to get repairs funded and all of this like in a timely manner. So in general, there's just more education and again, advocacy to help Congress kind of understand the inner workings of that component of CRT. And then in general, I don't think there is a specific bill or push for this, but advocacy for air travel, I think, has been an ongoing hot topic just as there's more social media influencers and wheelchair users that are bringing this topic to light. As wheelchair users can fly right now, they cannot sit in their wheelchairs when they fly, and a lot of equipment is damaged. So I think it will be interesting to see in the years to come, because I don't anticipate anything changing quickly overnight. It will be interesting to see the progress of air travel and advocacy for CRT users. Delta Airlines debuted the first ever plane wheelchair docking prototype. And so I think there is some awesome opportunities, and that will be something that is really cool to see where it progresses in the next few years.
That is so awesome, Tori. It's so there's so many different ways and things that we really have to help our clients, not only just on obtaining the equipment, but like you said, just learning and understanding the process of how to be an advocate for themselves, because it is, if you work in a seating clinic, it is so difficult sometimes, but it's never a it's I'm always a believer there's never an obstacle we can't overcome in some capacity. So the first step is education and educating ourselves and our clients. And you've given us some really amazing resources and ways to do that. So we're so appreciative of this discussion today and just kind of highlighting some of these really important parts, whether you work in a seating clinic every day or, you just work once in a while with a client who may use CRT. I really, really appreciate your talking with us today. Is there anything specific that you'd like to leave with the listeners, as we kind of transition to our goodbyes?
Yeah, can I just want to plug some of
Plug
those groups
away. Yes.
that are so instrumental. So as you mentioned earlier, there's the Rehabilitation Engineering and Assistive Technology Society of North America. So that is RESNA. There's also the National Registration of Rehabilitation Technology Suppliers. So that's NARTS, National Coalition for Assistive and Rehab Technology, NCART, and there's the Clinician Task Force. So those are great ways for suppliers or clinicians to get involved. There is also a National CRT Awareness Week, which is hosted by NCART. For consumers or users of CRT, there's United Spinal Association, which is amazing. And there's also Unite for CRT through NARTS as well. So there's great ways to become involved in advocacy, and having advocated alongside suppliers, manufacturers, and end users, encouraging your clients to become advocates is so powerful. The most recent congressional fly-in day, I advocated along a gentleman who has ALS, who was participating via eye gaze from, his home. And it's amazing. And those are, I really do feel like, as clinicians, of course, being able to advocate is an amazing opportunity, but encouraging our clients to advocate because their voice is extremely powerful.
Yes, Tori, thank you so much. What a wonderful conversation today. We really appreciate, and then if there's maybe anybody who has individual questions or things like that, maybe if you don't mind, I'll leave kind of your email or contact information in the show notes so you can get in touch with Tori. But we really appreciate you listening to this interview brought to you by the SEI Special Interest Group. And for more information on the SIG, as well as maybe the Wheelchair and Seating Mobility SIG or other things that the AMPT has to offer, please make sure that you visit www.neuropt.org. And again, we appreciate your time so much, Tori. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Kristen. I appreciate it.